We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking packs.
All right, guys. Right here in the Stack and Penny Studios, we are joined by the 2022 Truck Series champion. A lot of news around this guy joining us right here, Mr. Zane Smith.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Clap. Yeah. How's it going?
Good. Good. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Been trying to line this up for a long time. Yeah. Came out, supported kickball. First off, how was your kickball experience?
It was lovely. I haven't won something in a while, so.
Game-winning RBI kicker, this guy,
something
too.
Something like that. I kicked three of them, and two of them were out. So
didn't matter because the last one was what brought home the win off of our other teammate next year's face, Carson Hocevar.
Yeah, I love it. It could have been more perfect. So
he ran in front of that NFL guy.
Yeah, I know. He got trampled.
In front of him, and then it bounced off his face. Don't feel bad. Bob Pockers caught two of my pop flies last year.
There's a gold medal right there. Yeah, weep.
I sat mine on my kitchen island just to remind myself we could still get some dubs.
Still in there.
Yeah.
You're not even a year removed from being a Truck Series champion. So where'd the confidence go, man? You got to muster that thing up for Homestead this weekend.
The confidence is still there. It's just been a struggle of ups and downs this year of trying to finish them off. And I found myself in a must-win situation now going into Homestead. So hopefully we could go do what we did a couple years ago.
Man, you've been a busy guy this year. Several Xfinity races, several Cup races, some with front row, some with Rick Ware last year, right? No Rick Ware races this year. Do you think that additional load took anything away from the Truck Series championship run?
No, not at all. I feel like if anything made me better, I feel like just racing on Sunday, you learn so much in just one race. So I don't feel like that's the case at all. And I feel like with the Truck Series schedule is 22, 23 races a year. And so especially when the playoffs come around, you have one race and then you wait 3 weeks and then race again. So I've tried to put some Cup races in between those big breaks to keep me fresh, and I feel like it's done so. It's just I've been a not great playoff run, but we've had the speed. We have the team to go do it, and like you said, we did it last year, so no reason we can't go get another.
Now, there was a lot of conversation. You were the number one prospect, but you were tied up with your current Truck Series team owner, Front Row Motorsports. Bob Jenkins won him a championship last year. There was a lot of conversations going on behind the scenes.
Pro Sport Management.
So those guys are the ones having the conversations. And almost in the 11th hour, it seemed like Front Row picks up McDee's contract, Front Row picks up Todd's contract, which left you the odd man out. Yep. Did that instantly like unlock your free agent potential to go be the hottest girl at the dance and everybody want to dance with you?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I saw my future at FRM for where the position I was at. And the conversations that we had had, it was the same. We're all on the same page. But I had kept hearing there was interest, and I'd have people pull me aside and try to talk about it and wasn't able to talk about it. And then once that came about, it was like, all right, let's figure out what we're going to go do. And I had multiple people of great offers come and have serious conversations about it, but we were running into the problem of, I feel like it wasn't that it was so late. It's just that people are under contract right now. There's not a lot of room at other places. And my offers for 25 and beyond were awesome. Everything I've ever wanted, but it was, okay, well, what do I do in 24? And I didn't want to really run another year of trucks. I feel like I don't want to get stuck there, and I want to be racing on Sunday. Xfinity, the Xfinity car is probably the most fun to drive, but I don't think it's teaching you anything. I just feel like they're not even close at all to the Cup car. So I wasn't so sure about that. And I just really wanted the Cup experience, like just racing on Sunday, the atmosphere, everything in between pit road, all the small things, all the big things. It's just a different level. And just wanted to experience that for 38 weeks or whatever. So yeah, fortunately got that opportunity once Trackhouse came about, and there were some crazy offers. There were offers of, hey, what do you think of possibly racing the V8 supercars in Australia? Because you could do a whole year of racing because their season is opposite of us. So I'm like, man, I'm not throwing that offer away, but it was just like brief, quick talks. It was nothing too serious, but it came about, and I think it'd be really cool. But I mean, you're driving on the wrong side of the car there, bro. Which SVG came and kicked our butts, but I feel like I don't know how that would really be preparing me. So fortunately, once I had that with Trackhouse, and they had said that Spire is possibly going to be doing this and this and this, it really caught my attention. And so obviously see how you run, and just with the new Cup car, it's as even as it's been, and it's the quality of people that you put on it. And so I felt like with Trackhouse having some skin in the game there, I felt like there was a lot of opportunity there.
How much of your contract with Front Row was Front Row, and how much of it was Ford? Like, was, because there's a lot
all
of
Front Row.
It was all Front Row. You didn't have a Ford deal at all. Nope. Okay, because that's what we kind of talked about. Like, man, with kind of the 10 car and all that stuff, we weren't sure.
Ford had done a ton for me just with my short time there, and we had talks of trying to figure out a solution, but once again, there just wasn't nothing there, and so it was just kind of my circumstances that fell about, and it landed me at Trackhouse.
Now, how it didn't seem like when those dominoes fall, it felt like it was a couple dominoes right back to back. Spire buys a charter, which almost allowed Trackhouse to pull the trigger on doing a deal with you because I had a place to put you for 24.
Right.
How quick did those conversations come about when those dominoes started falling?
Well, I was talking to multiple people while I was talking to Trackhouse at this time, and it was probably 2 weeks, I'd say, of just a grind of staying on the phone. And I had a notepad of weighing out the pros and cons of every single team. And
it works, doesn't it?
It does.
I do that every time you got a big decision to make in life.
And I had talked to the people that really matter a lot to me in the sport and have a good insight, and it was a mixed bag. I was getting nowhere. And I don't know, my gut was at the time just with the Trackhouse, and still is. So then, yeah, once I had a meeting with Ty Norris, he had mentioned this Spire deal that was coming about. And I just felt like, well, all right, well, this kind of checks all the boxes of what I wanted. So I did it.
Makes it hard to not want to be a Trackhouse when you walk by their trucks at the track. And they got the neon lights.
LED lights.
Yeah, videos
they
playing
have
on the back.
Best picture you've ever seen of Ross Chastain on the back. I'm like, Jesus,
damn,
Ross Chastain.
Yeah, how do you make Ross
superhero?
And then they got country music singers
Imagine
playing.
How good this guy's going to look on the back of that LED board.
Superhero.
This guy looks like a race car driver.
Captain America.
He does.
That's funny you say that. So when you say he looks like a race car driver, I remember going the first time I ever saw you race, because you know, and Riley kind of were like three amigos, kind of all came here at the same time. Yep. But we went to Concord.
Hang on. Pause that thought. Could we dig into that a little bit of you and Riley Herbst?
No, and all them. Yep.
Yeah,
for sure.
So all from Vegas or Southern California area, right? Trophy trucks.
Yeah, Riley and Noah are from Vegas. I'm from Huntington Beach, California. So I always get mistaken. I'm from Vegas, but besides Irwindale, the Bull Ring at Las Vegas was my home track. Really, I raced there every single weekend. I've known Riley since, I'm sure people have seen that picture a bunch of me and him when we're, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, racing trophy cards.
You guys look the exact same, too.
You don't look any older.
It's been cool to grow together and end up racing at the top level of NASCAR. I mean, we were all coming out here racing a summer shootout together, literally touring these NASCAR shops, collecting diecast cars.
That's sweet.
So
first off, well, come to my mind, wellness check on Riley. Is he doing okay after his big win on Saturday? Has anybody heard from him?
Yeah, I went to dinner with him last night and with Noah as well. And so he's doing good. Had a good
time.
Weekend. Yeah, which as he should have.
No, Dad, I was so pumped up. Okay.
So, but you three raced together quite a bit. It's like, did you grow up around Noah too?
Yep. So,
how many times did you have to punch Noah in the holler when you were growing up?
So, yeah, I guess they all live in the same neighborhood, right? And when I would come into town, I would stay at Riley's house, and Riley and Noah were friends, I guess, before Noah and I were friends, right? And they went to the same school together. And I'd come into town, we'd play NASCAR in Sightline at like Riley's house, and I met Noah. And I mean, he was exactly the same. Like, I always use this like reference of you go to Noah's old house and he's a sister and like her room is like perfectly clean. The whole house is like gorgeously clean. And you go to Noah's and it's a train wreck. Like the shower stickers all over the, like just a mess. Like random people coming into his room and just signing the wall, like the gardener signing the wall. Like it's just Noah. And we just all kind of became friends. Noah at the time was racing Bandoleros for another team. And Riley was as well. And I was racing Legend Cars. And then we got into Legend Cars and we all became just a one team. And so how the bull ring does is like Young Lion and semi-pro and then pro and whatnot. And they were in Young Lion and I was in pro at that time. And we did that for a few years and then made our transition to the East Coast and just tried racing out here. We used to race a lot more.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Do your pennies stretch as far as they used to? Most likely it doesn't. Here's why. It took 200 years for the U.S. to print its first $5 trillion. Today, Washington has done that in just 3 years. The problem, every new dollar makes each one of your dollars worth less, robbing you and every other hardworking American. But you can stop this cycle of robbery by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold, an asset that has stood the test of time. Our new sponsor, Birch Gold Group, has helped tens of thousands of Americans protect their retirement savings with physical precious metals. Now you can too. Get a free info kit on gold right now by texting the word Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the BBB, you're in good hands with Birch Gold. So get your free info kit by texting Corey to the number 989-898. Go check them out. Put some pennies in some gold. So even though you guys grew up racing together, the trajectory and opportunities of those other guys had didn't seem like it seemed like every time I either talked to you or heard about the progression of your career, you were always up against a headwind. Like this happened or it might not come to fruition. There was a couple different deals. You were driving the 71 super late model for
77, I think.
77. Yeah. You run second or something like your first time down there.
I went to the Snowball Derby.
Yeah.
And, that one still stings. I guess I was technically supposed to.
Didn't you lift because the eight John Hunter Nemechek was on fire?
Yeah.
Got so, passed at like two to go or something.
Yeah. Christopher Bell passed me with, I don't know, maybe like 15, 20 to go, and he led, and he was probably supposed to win, right? And then it was like me, and I was holding up a there was a line of us. It was Chase Elliott, I think, behind me, John Hunter, Casey Roderick, like the group, Bubba and all them that typically run down there. I think you were in it that year, right? And
three or four, yeah. Just struggling.
And yeah, John Hunter was like on fire, then like ran into the pit box or something.
It was we were pitted next to him.
Yeah.
So he jumped on some guy's hood because he lost.
No, this was the year before that. That was the last year we went. But it was me and my buddy Danny and then
Charles the Knight.
Mamba. Oh, well, Mamba Smith, right? And he's got like Air Force Ones on. This is I'll remember this forever. John Hunter gets like two boxes away and it's on fire and it's like the fiberglass is burning. So he pulls the steering wheel off and the caster hooked it into the pit box and it hit. He had like a cup pit box, uh-huh. Right? We had like a Mac toolbox and a like a gas can on, which was sketchy because like all the gas cans are there. There's no pit wall. So they're like on like a Coke can. And the grass, when he did it, he hit the pit box. He pinned somebody in between the pit box, but the grass started on fire. And it's burned in my memory. Mamba Smith with his like Air Force Ones. He was like holding his pants up and trying to stomp the fire out. It's like, what the hell are you doing, Mamba? Get a fire extinguisher. But the first time we met, like we went to Concord, you were driving Jamie Elton's car.
Yeah.
And we broke a distributor or something around second. But I remember sitting in the driver's meeting and I was like, there's only like two or three people here that look like race car drivers. You and that kid, but he looks like he should be in a quarter midget. Because you, like you were young like and you ended up winning the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I won. One of the last ones at Concord. Yeah.
That track was badass.
So cool. Yeah. And the Derby, once that happened, my crew chief was my spotter at the time, Gary Crooks. And I'm so new to racing, right? I just see the track was like flooded with smoke and I couldn't see at all. And I like barely blip it and Chase like got underneath me. I got back in line, finished third and like instantly right when Christopher gets into tech.
And then he got tossed.
Gone. And I'm like,
damn.
Shouldn't have lifted.
Shouldn't have lifted or just wrecked Clyde. Dang it. All right. So then after that, take me through the Cliff Notes trajectory of since that Snowball Derby, then it's kind of seemed like, okay, Zane Smith kid is on the map. So then you get a call from who?
Yeah, well, I feel like it actually starts before then. We went to New Smyrna Speed Weeks, and I had like no idea where or how big this was. I was just, it was awesome. You raced like seven times, right? And like the first couple nights, I like got the full experience. Like moved Stephen Wallace second night, comes down, wants to fight a 15-year-old. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like just wound up, right? And I'm like, all right, this is awesome. And I don't know, like third or fourth night, I win one. And these are like 35 lap features, I think it was. Like, I didn't even know there was I probably knew, but I truly wasn't paying attention. Like, when people always say, like, oh, I'm not paying attention to the points, like, BS, you're kind of paying attention. Yeah. But, like, I truly didn't really know that there was, like, a end-of-the-week champion. And there was, like, two races left in the week. And it was like, hey, you and Ty Majeski are, like, probably it's going to come down to you two. And so anyways, we put together like a couple more good nights and we won the championship there. And then I remember people saying like, dude, you have no idea like how big that is. And just with how hard that week was. And then there was some interest on like some truck teams and whatnot. And I remember Kozlowski's group had mentioned out like this is when I was, I mean, like 17 years old probably. And so I guess from there about like, nothing really came about, and then the Derby and whatnot, and got involved in like some K&N and ARCA starts, and then ran a year of
was with Venturini. Who'd you doing with?
I ran not a full year with Venturini, the 1 year, and then I did a full year with MDM Motorsports in the 41.
Oh, yeah,
and then won some races there, but I didn't know what was next about. On that, and like how I got to this point was since karting, really. I had we all know it takes funding to get anywhere in this sport, and for me, we went about it of like an investor program to where you invested in me, and if I get to the cup level, then I pay you back, and so that's how I got these opportunities in ARCA and Xfinity and whatnot, and so I got to. I guess after ARCA, like this is where the never ending story of like, man, what's next? What's next? Mm-hmm. And like I feared these months that we're in right now because like, this is the worst. Mm-hmm. And so after ARCA, didn't know. I thought like possibly some truck stuff. I think it was at GMS. I think it was maybe going to be. And then it came about this part-time Xfinity car. And I had Lauren Rainier kind of representing and like just kind of introducing us to people. Like when you come from California, like you guys are raised around these people. Like we don't know them, right? And so he did an awesome job of assembling the right people around me. And he was a huge part of my career in that. And so once I got to Xfinity, like we went to the Vegas test and like I fell in love with these cars. It was awesome to like actually feel power at first and what actually like was not bad in the test. And
well, whose car did you drive?
JRM.
Okay.
Yep. And the 8. And so I ran, I think like 7 races there. And like had a few like really good runs, like ran inside the top 5 at like Dover. And it was so tough because it was my first time like ever seeing these places, like unloading at Dover, like Xfinity car. It's tough. And so like ran top 5, pretty much all day at both the Dovers. I did ran top 5 at Iowa and Richmond. And then we had a parts failure at the 2nd Richmond I did. And we had gotten to have Phoenix for a race, like that was just a bonus. They must have not been able to sell it or something. And so went and did Phoenix and had a good run there, like ran inside the top 5 again. And I guess at the time ISM Raceway with Maury was there, and like I was around, I think it was John Hunter in the 23 at that time. Me and him like battled the whole race. And then after that, like once again, like, all right, now what's next? And then this truck deal came about at GMS for my first year, and it wasn't really supposed to be full time, but I kept telling myself and the people around me, like, I'm going to win a race and get in the playoffs to make it full time. And we like came close a few times, but just wasn't able to finish it off. Wasn't doing the small things right. And then we won Michigan, and then a few weeks later won Dover. And had like a pretty good playoff run and got to the Final 4 and finished 2nd in the championship, which then gave me another opportunity with them. And I mean, I could go on and on.
It's a hell of a Cliff Notes version.
Yeah.
It's a novel.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
For me, race day is a great reason to shut down the laptop, put the phone on silent, and simply enjoy the driving. But Mobile One wants to remind you that you can get that same kind of escape any day of the week. How? By simply hopping in your car, rolling the windows down, and hitting the road. No emails, no calls, no work, just freedom. Mobile One, for the love of driving.
Well, it's funny you touched on like this time of year, probably starts in September, but I remember when Corey first started like running cup cars and it was always a lot of uncertainty this time of year. And I remember telling him early in his career, I'm like, yeah, this time of year sucks, especially if you don't have a contract.
Brutal.
And it like people don't understand that, right? Like that's why I think you see so many people fly off the handle in like August, September.
Yeah.
They don't think there's a lot going on behind the scenes. And then you only get to see on TV what's happening in the car.
Yeah.
Or like the clip out on Radioactive. But there's a lot of moving and shaking in those, you know, in those months.
Yeah.
And even went later
like
for you.
People don't understand, like, the truck and Xfinity level, at least for me, like, you're not making good money. And so, like, when you don't know if you're going to have a job next year, you're like,
shoot.
All right, now it's real.
Yeah.
You know,
Tic-tac, teach me how to build shocks here.
Yeah,
let me teach you a backup plan.
So, like, that's where, like, it was like a life or death deal, yeah. You know? And, like, I mean, shoot, 2021 was the most real year of that, of like going into Martinsville, must win, don't have anything. And it was like,
got her done.
It was, yeah, we did. But like going into that week, it was like, I will wreck before I lose. It just, because I knew if I got to the Final Four, I could have that on my resume of, yeah, I made it the past couple of years undefeated with that. And at least we've won a race. Like 21, we were really fast, but like we had so many just mistakes, penalties, issues. And unfortunately people don't care. Like they just care if you
results.
Win. And,
yeah.
Yep. Right. So, I understand, but that's, I just remember like, man, this one, I've had opportunities that come into place, but I don't see the sun coming up after this one. If it don't happen, unfortunately it did.
Sun now, came up.
Yeah.
Now he's got a cup ride. Unfortunately, you got to pay all the people back now.
Yeah. And I wanted to touch on that a little bit, not too much, but it's not uncommon, right? I've gotten calls for, you know, white knight. It's like a white knight type investor in your career. Daniel Hemrick's another one that took that approach just to
continue. Scott Dixon, I remember, is a big one on that. I think he was one of the first.
Who's that?
Scott Dixon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, not uncommon.
Indy car side, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, whatever it takes to get you to the next level and keep right. that thing moving. You mentioned something real quick, and I wanted to go back to it because that's where stacking pennies comes from. You said you had speed, but you weren't doing the little things right.
Yep.
So what are those little things now that took you from just from what your own verbiage was of just fast, not winning races, now a champion and rookie in the Cup Series, going to make a hell of a career for himself? What are those small things?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess to touch on this, Josh Wise, who I'm working with next year, has shown me like the true meaning of that and how to do it. And it's just all these guys that compete at the high level, they could all drive fast, but it's the guys that win all these races multiple times a year that do the little things right. And those little things, like there's so many little things on pit road. There's so many little things to study and to apply on restarts and when lane changes, once the rubber gets laid down and being able to move around, when to know to move around, you go on and on about it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like just preparing yourself for the weekend to train yourself to do those little things right. I feel like even on your perfect race, there's still always a couple things where you're like, man, I probably could have done that a little bit better. And it starts on Monday of the race week for me. And just preparing, watching previous races and how they play out and just situational racing, really.
So several Cup starts this year. One, I wanted to ask you how your opinion's been, what you've learned so far. Just going Charlotte to race has stuck out to me. The Coke 600, you hauled ass. Where'd you finish? 10th?
Yeah, 10th.
Going from a truck the same weekend back-to-back to a Cup car, and then also what are some of those things you're going to apply next year and what are the goals?
Yeah, I mean, the truck or Cup deal is – ridiculously tough. The Coke 600 was probably, unfortunately, the only one I had this year where I felt like, man, I ran a good race. And there's so many things, especially in that race, it's so long, where it's like, I could have done this better, this better, this better. But yeah, I mean, I really need to be better at qualifying. I feel like that's so important on the Cup side. Just because where you qualify and where you come off of pit road is where you run. And the blocking is horrendous. Just everyone does it just because we're all the same speed.
And you can, here's my point too. I've said it a couple times on the show. You can see so much better out of those rear view cameras to block
them. I know. Like you could tell at multiple places with me this year, like you're racing a guy and you're like, I don't know if he's looked through the windshield once.
No.
Five laps. So
that's how it works.
Would it be better if you took him out, you think?
Yes.
Well, the problem is you can't get to him.
If only we knew a guy who was on the driver advisory
council. Oh, if you take the, oh, sorry.
Yeah. The actual cameras out. Just
no,
do that.
No, not take, yeah, no, no. Yeah. I mean.
Could take him out.
Hey, might not be great for long-term success. But
I mean, NASCAR, like it. They'd use some marketing material. So, all right, going next year. Oh, I cut you off about the rear view cameras, but yes, the blocking is, it's not, horrendous might be a strong word. It's a necessity, right? It's like you have to defend. And
for sure.
Because the guy in front of you is also defending you simultaneously while you're blocking the guy behind
you. Right, for sure. And like I know now that I have the experience of like just experiencing what it's like is a huge part of it. And so happy I've been able to experience that. And like a lot of my races, I've been like, in the thick of the dogfight of...
Bro. 16th to 24th. Yeah, just a hornet's nest.
Dogfight.
Live it.
And so, yeah, having a bit, I've been able to experience that. But, yeah, I'm excited for next year.
Should be, man. We got a lot of good things going on. What is it already starting to shape up like? Spire's making a big transition to the KVM shop, right? So we don't even know layout. We don't know people. We don't know a lot of things besides the people that are on the seven, more or less, of who's intact. But everything that you're seeing and hearing put together for your car specifically, how's it shaping up?
Good. I do know the crew chief for next year, and super excited about that. And I don't know when it's going to be announced, but
could be right now.
I don't want to start off on a bad foot with them. But
I hear you.
So yeah, we catch up about every week and go through on who we got, who we're trying to get, and how we're going to build the best team we possibly can. And so that's been exciting, but yeah, I've gotten lucky on the shop side for, I live right in that area now. So with Front Row being right there, JRM, GMS wasn't too far, and now KBM's.
Saving on some gas.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, I think everybody had a little bit of a head scratcher moment when they signed, it was like right on the heels of the SVG announcement, they announced your deal.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got four roosters and a two chicken hen house. What have the conversations been? What is the plan for SDG? And what are some conversations you've had about 25? Because 24 is laid out. They've already been public with that. What does it look like beyond that?
Yeah. So as I see my future, it's at Trackhouse. I don't know the terms of SVG. I was actually doing my photo shoot stuff with a Trackhouse, my first Trackhouse shirt on and whatnot for the release video. And that was right when I found out about it. Of them saying that, hey, we're about to announce SVG stuff, and I just thought, right on, cool.
Yeah, cool.
I'm happy.
I got for wheels.
Him. Yeah, he deserves it. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm not the one that is buying the charter, runs the race team, but I see my future at Trackhouse, and I really believe in what they're building, and I think what they're building is very special.
I agree with that.
You could hide behind that guy's calves, as small as you are, as big as his calves are.
Yeah.
Have you seen his calves? They're quite impressive.
They are. I mean,
he sat right there in that chair.
You're not going to be able to unsee it now. He's going to walk in and be looking at his calves and be like, what are you looking at, mate?
They're measured.
Is his right one way bigger than his left one because he right foot break?
No, he's perfectly balanced.
Yeah. Mm. You're getting married this off season.
I am.
Does she not cheat in the better half dash?
No, she's a wheel woman.
We did that with Carissa. And I was like, you better like tell somebody you got a flat or you're down a cylinder or something. Come up with a good excuse because you were not even close. Even TJ Majors was like, I can't run that lap. So like, what the hell is going on there? McCall has run.
Yep. On the iRacing side, I mean, she just straight up put in the work for it. Like, I would come home and I have no idea how long she'd be iRacing for.
Two-time champ now?
Three-time. She's won two on the iRacing. And, I mean, she's quick on iRacing, especially in a Legends car. And so then once we went to GoPro, I'm like, all right, this is where I could help because I suck on iRacing. And we went out to GoPro, and like, this is what I grew up doing, these style of go-karts. And I followed her and like just instantly told her a few things to like work on. And like, it was just like the braking zones and like braking techniques. We like brought out a few cameras or whatever to like, help with it and whatnot. But I told her, I was like, I'm going to like set a pace and you follow me and like just drive through me. And every time you hit me, like
you'll speed up.
Like that's the limit right there. So we did that for a few times and yeah, she learned. And then I guess I was a spotter, right? And we had like, or she had AirPods and then her purse, her phone. We like called her and I was just like on the phone with her. That was, everyone had like radios and everything, but that was more weight. So
it's efficient.
Hey.
Yeah. It worked.
Yep. That, that experience did not make me and my wife any closer. And I'll tell you this, we went to GoPro one time. I went, me and her, and, I was like, she finally worked up the courage where she was going to drive it in a corner and it was the hairpin and she went straight through the barriers and got out and left. She said, I'm done. I watched her. I'm like, oh, that's the wrong one to get confident in. Boom. She like went through the barriers and out the other side. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm getting yelled
at. That was impressive.
Yep. She's like, I am over this.
I like really now know what it feels like once you get into someone and from the spotter, how awkward that must be up there, even though you have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, right? Like look at each other like,
well, like we are the better half. So it was her and Julia PK Suarez's, I think, fiance, right?
Yeah.
So I think McCall was second to her. And like McCall is super aggressive, like just cleans him out. And so we're standing in the grandstands. It's like all the better halves right here. And I see like McCall get a run and I'm like, hey, just like take your time.
And I want to get punched by Suarez here. So did yeah. McDowell.
Yeah, exactly. And so I see them two going to the final corner. I just hear barriers explode and I'm like, oh my God. Like I'm just like looking down, but I guess she didn't even touch her, but
allegedly.
Like that's what I couldn't see, so you just obviously assumed the worst, uh-huh. right? So the head was down and then it was like, all right, back to spot. And
did you mention road course racing, go-karts was kind of your thing growing up.
Yep.
Did you race against anybody that's overseas racing now?
Yeah, big one is Logan Sargent right now. Yeah, it's cool to see him make it to the F1 side and how crazy that deal is, but
not the best scenario.
What's that?
He's not in the best scenario over there.
Oh, yeah, I know. I always read something new on social media, but who I've raced against, I feel like I've raced against half the IndyCar field. The big one that stands out to me is Colton Herta. We raced against each other every single weekend in karts, and yeah, that's honestly where I saw my career going was IndyCar, but it ended up being
NASCAR. Where'd the split happen?
Legend cars, probably around there. Like I was deep into the karting stuff, like had a lot of success in it. And it's crazy saying that because like you don't see people jump from go-karts to like these big cars, but like that's how it is in open wheel racing. And so
What is the ladder, like Indy Lights? Was that a thing?
I think that's
then?
Next, right? And then you do that. Yeah, you do that program in Indy, I think.
The next, yeah.
Yep, and then you get an opportunity. But, yeah, we battled hard in go-kart stuff and just raced a lot. Like, you'd race, like, five different classes every weekend.
Would
the Gamebridge guys now, 2025, yeah. Double.
I was about to say.
Yeah, let's go. You're the second person we've signed up for the double on the show. Yeah. Congratulations, you're going to be racing Justin Haley.
Justin Haley is also, he's confirmed. We peer pressure him to do it.
I'm
would you be interested in that?
Heck yeah. Yeah.
You would.
For sure. You wouldn't? Would you?
I got kids, man.
Yeah, we're old and shit.
And the catch fence isn't tall enough for me for you to do it. They would need to raise it up like 3-4 feet. I'd be out in the ballpark.
I mean, their wrecks are definitely big, but I would 100% do it.
Well, Kurt Busch says do Taekwondo before he did.
He did.
Yeah.
And it worked. My man ran
up front.
He ran up front.
Yeah. Where did he finish? Seventh? Sixth?
Sixth.
Maybe, yeah.
Whew. Cool.
Taekwondo is the difference, man. If you ever decide to do it, you should look it up. Hmm. Or jiu-jitsu. Maybe just change it up a little bit.
Why is that? Again, no. Why?
You got to go back and like, listen to the podcast. He says it makes your brain think about things differently.
Yeah.
Copy that.
You got Vegas connections. You can go to UFC gym out there.
I drove by that thing.
I've been in there.
It's nice.
Forrest Griffin toured us around. It's cool.
Did you look at his ears the entire time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we had one of our tire carriers was a wrestler, and he had cauliflower, and he goes, oh, man,
cool,
cauliflower
man.
Ear.
Like, are they hard? Are they? Yeah, like, they're full of blood, right?
Yeah. I mean, cartilage is broken.
Yeah, I think you should go up and grab Forrest Griffin's ears next time you see him, see what he does.
It's gross.
Give him a wet willy. Gotcha, wet willy.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. sleepnumber.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I got three questions for you before you roll. You've been so gracious for your time. Everybody that sitting in your chair in the Stack of Penny studio gets these three questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If you had to pick one car and one racetrack to race at the rest of your life, what do you go with?
I don't know. The Truck Series puts on a hell of a race at Kansas. Kansas definitely is my racetrack, though.
Yeah.
That I feel like is like one of the best racetracks out there.
It has aged to perfection.
Yeah.
And a truck.
Yeah. I'll take a truck. Sure.
Big truck guy.
Dang.
Yeah.
The truck champ. Why not? Right,
makes sense.
I've never raced a cup car there, or that's all I've raced there.
It's pretty
there,
fun.
So.
Question number two. What is the most embarrassed you've been at the racetrack?
Pit road at Talladega, rank up there.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. You got to know better than to come at here on a half shell like that. I forgot about that. We were going to talk about that. Did you miss your pit box and then hook a left?
No, I had basically got my pedal there, getting to the line. And
it was all rear brake.
Well, I mean, yeah. and I went to the brake pedal, and it was there, but it traveled quite a lot. And once it engaged, I was crossed up, and then my heart literally sunk watching them run. And yeah,
tell you what else sunk: your quarter panel. There's no match.
Yeah,
it wasn't a match.
Hey, he was dog of the week, man. Old Charlie Plank.
Shout out Charlie Plank.
Yeah.
Did you call him afterwards?
Yeah, I saw him after, and I. Yeah, obviously felt terrible, right?
Gotta make sure he didn't sue you either.
That same thing happened.
However you want to look at that, like I'm sitting in the rental car, and I'm like, I pretty much just
killed
hit
this
man.
Yeah.
On 77. Like, we are going the same speed as we are on 77.
That man chose to jump out in front of your truck, though.
He was a dog.
He was a dog, right?
But yeah, I called him the next day, and he's just like, oh, like, don't worry about it, dude. Like, let's move on.
Part of the job, man.
What do you say? It's great to go.
I'm not just going to erase that from my mind, but I will focus forward on Homestead, obviously, but I'm never going to forget that. Yeah.
It's an iconic moment.
Sure.
Same thing happened to me one time. It's not like McDowell spun out like that, getting in the pit box, and you're in the this race last year, the 19 did it. Like, it's not an uncommon thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, and
he got turned. Who was that? The five?
The five, but he saw his pit box late and jabbed the brake and hooked the left and just got turned. Yeah.
Narrow pit road this week. Mm. Question number three. If you had to lose every single one of your racing memories and keep one, what do you keep?
I mean, I'm keeping the championship race, 100%.
The day itself, start to finish?
That day, yep. I'll lose the rest. It'd suck to lose the rest, but yeah, there's been a lot of cool ones.
Yeah.
Martinsville was just a really crazy week, right? And hopefully get to relive that again.
Yeah. What happens after you win the championship?
I always tell this story, from 21, I sat in the Phoenix parking lot and did not know what was next, right?
After the race.
After the race. 365 days later, we are in the parking lot in a minivan, pretty tuned up, listening to We Are the Champions in a minivan.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's a glamorous life.
Yes.
The old Avis minivan the parking lot.
The old Chrysler Town and Country rocking out.
And then, we went to Airbnb, celebrated, and then I was off to Cabo to celebrate some more the following day.
Must have been a good time.
A lovely time.
This has been a good time, too, because we've had Zane Smith right here in Stag and Pennies.
Cool.
I'm excited to be your teammate next year, buddy. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah, buddy.